Welcome to the Halloween Evil Lives Fan Film Podcast. Welcome to today's podcast. We have a great episode for you today. Today we're going to explore the Rob Zombie Halloween movies. First, we'll start off with Rob Zombie's Halloween. So, the disaster that was Halloween Resurrection, Dimension Studios and Malik Aghead had no taste for a possible sequel for it. Even though it was expected that the lead actress that survived in Resurrection would be part of Halloween 9, she was not included in Rob Zombie's reimagining of Halloween. So, Dimension Studios wanted to get a little bit grittier with the Halloween series and possibly reboot it. They saw some of Rob Zombie's movies that came out, House of a Thousand Corpses and The Devil's Rejects, and they've decided that he'd be great to reach out to audiences, especially youths and teens. He has that kind of raw, you know, energy in his movies, and it seems to be that was what was cool at that time. And they said, well, this guy would be a great guy to direct this movie. And Rob Zombie felt that the other Halloween movies were getting really watered down. I remember seeing him on a late night show where he talked to the host and said that he felt that Michael Myers was not scary anymore. There was nothing to be afraid of him. In fact, I remember him posting about how he watched Halloween H2O and felt that it was boring that they did not show Michael Myers enough. So with that to say, they called those years the MTV years. They were going to embark on rebooting Halloween with Rob Zombie as the director. So let's get into the movie here. Just a minute here. Rob Zombie's Halloween. Rob Zombie's Halloween is kind of almost like a prequel to the original Halloween movie in its own way. It explores Michael Myers and his youth. They show that Michael Myers is bullied in his school. Michael Myers is bullied at home. And this bulliness ends up leading to him becoming a serial killer. They also show that he killed pets and animals before he switched to humans. I guess Rob Zombie said he studied real-life serial killers to get a feeling that if Michael Myers was real, what would cause him to go and kill? So they went with that approach, more kind of a realistic approach to it. And so they casted this child actor. His name was Dag Ferrick, I believe. And, you know, he was angelic looking, youthful looking. And, you know, you would never suspect that this kid would be a killer. And I guess that's what they were going for. And he cusses and swears in the movie. He's picked on by his mother's boyfriend and by his older sister, Judith. The only person he gets along with is his baby sister, Boo, or Angel Myers. So they show that Judith doesn't take him trick-or-treating, and that leads to him getting more angry, and he's being bullied by his mother's boyfriend, and this leads to him, you know, killing his mother's boyfriend and his older sister, Judith. But before that occurs, he does end up killing the bully that bullies him at school. So we go this stretch that, okay, he has had enough. He starts killing now. So then he gets committed to Smith's Grove, and we have the new Dr. Loomis, played by Malcolm, and he takes over and tries to, you know, find out why Michael Myers is doing these things, and he's trying to reach him by Malcolm McDowell. That's the one who plays the new Loomis. Not many people liked his take on Loomis. I didn't mind it. You know, it was a little bit different, but I didn't mind it. Anyway, it appears that young Michael Myers does not even remember killing his family because he keeps asking his mother and Loomis how they are doing, and acting like he did not know that they are dead. So anyway, he gets, you know, locked up for quite some time at Smith's Grove. He attacks a nurse, so they add more years onto his sentence. By the time he's in his 20s, Dr. Loomis approaches him for one last time and tells him that, you know, this is the last time I'm going to see you, Michael. There is no hope for you, you know. I just want to say goodbye. After that occurs, for some reason they don't really explain, Michael Myers escapes Smith's Grove on Halloween Eve, and he ends up back in Haddonfield on Halloween. And apparently he remembers who his sister is, his baby sister, Boo, because she drops the key off like they always do in the Halloween movies, Laurie Strode, because there's a new Laurie Strode in this one, and he smells the envelope, and he smells her scent. And he goes in the basement, grabs his mask, which apparently is buried in the basement underneath the house, and the knife that he used to murder his older sister, and you know how the story goes from there. He goes to start stalking the people of Haddonfield, the babysitters, the teens, and starts killing them all. Well, you know, this movie, it's okay. I mean, this is an honest opinion. I think it is an okay movie. It is a reboot, so I really can't compare it to the original because it's its own thing. There are some stuff in there that nods to the original. You know, some of the shot-by-shots are close to what the original was. Rob Zombie didn't go too radical in some of the stuff. But now we'll go on to Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. Now, Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 is very controversial. One of the controversial ones, you know, in the Halloween franchise. Because Rob Zombie was given a little more free rein, I guess they say. And he was able to do a lot more crazy things with the movie. So at the end of Halloween, the first Rob Zombie movie, Laurie Strode ends up shooting Michael Myers at his head at point-blank range, and we assume that he's dead. So then we go on to Halloween 2, where they show them loading up Michael Myers' body into a coroner van, I'm guessing, because they said that he's dead. It took 6 guys to lift the stiff, they say. And they load him up to go. And we show Laurie Strode recovering in the hospital. And she wakes up to find that there's not many people left in the hospital. And she finds one nurse, but she ends up spitting blood out of her mouth. And it's shown that Michael Myers is at the hospital and he's killing everybody. And she runs out. She gets to the guard shack. Outside, it's raining. She gets inside and the security guard tells her everything's going to be okay, and then Michael Myers appears with an axe and busts through the security shack. He kills the security guard, and he's just about to strike Laurie Strode when we realize that she is just dreaming, and now she's living with Sheriff Brackett and Annie, who survived the attack in the first movie. I'm fine with all that. I thought it was a cool nod to a Halloween 2. You know, I'm like, wow, this ain't too bad. This is going to be a pretty cool movie. However, things get stranger than that. So anyway, Michael Myers really was loaded on that coroner van. And the guys are talking about sick stuff in the van, the driver and his fellow helper. And they smash into a cow in the middle of the street. I know it sounds goofy, but they get into a huge accident. And the truck smashes. And now they're both crippled near death. And the one guy that's still, you know, awake and observant and pain, hears noises coming from the back of the truck. Well, that's where Michael Myers is held. Oh boy. So they hear him bam, 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 and finally the door swing open and you see Boots fall to the ground and it's Michael Myers. He's still alive somehow. We don't know how. So he comes around, uses the broken glass and basically decapitates the one living paramedic guy in there. And then he sees a vision of his dead mother with a white horse. Now, in the beginning of Halloween 2, Rob Zombie's Halloween 2, it says something about the white horse as a force that can cause violence and anger and destruction. It's a supernatural force. So this white horse will appear often in this movie, and so will his dead mother. This is where it gets weird, because as you know, with Halloween, there really wasn't a connection with Michael Myers and his mother. That was more of a Friday the 13th type ordeal. So that was like, wow, this is kind of weird. It's like they're borrowing elements from Friday the 13th for this movie. very weird. Then goes even weirder from that, because Michael Myers does not come back to Haddonfield till like a year later. And when he does, he looks like a hobo, a homeless person. He has a hoodie, his mask is all ripped up from part one where he got shot. It's more, even more rotted and deteriorated. And he's just living as this homeless guy. No one knows why he didn't go back sooner, why it took him a year to go back, because he wasn't too far outside of town in the corner, man. So this Michael Myers in part two, I don't know if Rob Zombie asked for permission or, but he seemed to just go off the board with it and ignore some of the rules that he had to follow for his first Halloween outing. Because this Michael Myers makes noises like a pig when he stabs people. And, he just grunts a lot. He just makes strange noises when he attacks people. And he doesn't have his mask on as much in this movie. He's basically a homeless guy that looks like Michael Myers that just walks around and starts killing people. And then they start introducing that Laurie Strode is starting to go crazy from PTSD. She starts envisioning herself as Michael Myers, or she starts seeing her dead mother, which she finds out from a book. So this is where another strange twist is, they made Dr. Loomis a very unlikable character in Halloween 2. They had him becoming more of a celebrity and selling another book, and then he reveals that Laurie Strode is really Angel Myers. And she finds this out, Laurie, and she's hurt that everybody's been lying to her about who her real, you know, family was. She was adopted by the Strodes, and she always believed them to be her real parents, but she was not. You see, when Michael Myers and her mom committed suicide, she was taken by the Sheriff Brackett and given to another family to be raised. So she starts going crazy. She starts going nuts. She starts seeing visions of her biological mother, you know, the one she shares with Michael Myers. And Michael Myers has seen visions of her. And the goal for Halloween 2 is to bring them all back together to celebrate Halloween as a family. And then I don't know if that means Michael Myers is going to commit suicide, kill her, and then kill himself. They really didn't give too many plot details. But it went on this kind of strange twist, the Halloween 2 movie. And, you know, it ends with Dr. Loomis dying. And then, you know, there's two endings. There's an ending where Laurie kills Michael Myers. And then there's an ending outside where Michael Myers, with the mask off, he kills Loomis outside. And then he tells the police, you know, the F word, you know. And then they shoot him. They just start shooting him. And then he dies. And then it ends with Laurie in a mental hospital smiling. And that's the ultimate, you know, ending for Halloween 2. So there's some pros and cons with these movies. Not many people like them. I happen to think they are Halloween movies, but they're their own thing, their own franchise. It's a reboot. It's its own thing, you know. But some people say, I do not like the Rob Zombie Halloween movies. They're just trashy, and they ruin the character of Michael Myers. But I don't happen to share that opinion. I think that if they're their own thing, just like Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, it's its own thing. And that's how I view the Halloween, Rob Zombie Halloween movies. It's its own thing for that time. As we know, now 2018 came up, they decided to ignore all the Rob Zombie movies. But for quite some time, basically from 2011 to 2016, there was talks of Halloween 3D. And there's actually a script out there, which was going to be a direct sequel to the Rob Zombie movies. And also there was talks of Halloween Returns, which was, again, going to ignore the Rob Zombie movies. But we finally ended with Halloween 2018, which was a pretty good movie. But coming up in a future podcast here, I'm going to give my pitch for how a Rob Zombie Halloween 3 would have went. And I would have fixed things around a little bit to reach into what he originally had planned from the first Halloween movie, Rob Zombie, and trying to get rid of all the stuff that I felt didn't fit in the Halloween 2 Rob Zombie movie. But I would like to bring it back for a Halloween 3 in the future podcast coming up. So I hope you all give that a listen. And remember, We'll be back next episode.